I get to be the one to update you on NRDC's groundbreaking work on land use in California. When EB 32 passed in 2006 and global warming and sort of all things green, in my opinion, tipped in the public consciousness, you know, I felt we were living through a sea change. And I have to admit, with the changes we've been able to affect through SB 375, our land use bill this year, you know, it's really felt like a similar degree of a paradigm shift. I've been often shocked at the coalition we've been able to bring together to support this bill. So, really, you know, these are changes people have been advocating for decades, and many of the people in this room have been setting the groundwork, which, you know, lays the foundation for what I think we've been able to achieve, hopefully, with the governor's support this year. So, you know, in addition to sort of everyone's favorite Main Street and their favorite little coffee shop, I think there are basically three reasons we need to focus on smarter growth. Okay. Well, what you would see here, if you want to sort of use your imagination, is a dark red line that is VMT increasing, and that is increasing at roughly twice the rate of population growth. You've heard this from other folks. And we talk about the three-legged stool, and we talk about cleaner cars and cleaner fuels. You know, but the fact is, even with all of the technological innovations we've got, unless we get a hold on VMT, we just won't be able to reach our climate goals. The second piece is that, you know, we know how to do it. We now have experience from hundreds of communities around the country that suggest that smart growth communities reduce the need to drive by 30% on average over single-use, auto-oriented, basically sprawl. This is a graph I like a lot because it not only does it recommend or suggest that when you increase density that auto trips decrease, but walking and transit increase. And I think, you know, Malcolm Gladwell would like this slide because there's a science to it. You know, when we build to a certain density, it not only reduces auto trips, but it increases walking and transit use. And then the third is just the opportunity. You know, I think most of you probably know this, but the statistic I've heard is that in California, two-thirds of all the development that will be on the ground by 2050 is not yet built. So just let that penetrate for a minute and think about what an opportunity that is to sort of get it right with the next increment of growth. So this is what NRDC decided to do about it. Senate Bill 375 we started working on at the beginning of last year. It was held over last year and turned into a two-year bill. And, you know, we like to think we were prescient in our choice of Senator Steinberg as sponsor for the bill, who, of course, is the incoming pro tem of the Senate. That gives us a little more legs. You know, but he's also just been a phenomenal negotiating force through the process. And then just a word on national significance. You know, this bill has received attention as the first bill in the nation to link up climate policy with transportation funding and land use planning. And we very much hope that when the governor signs the bill, I should say, that this bill is going to be a model for other states to adopt and then hopefully to get picked up in federal legislation that Shelley was just discussing. You know, I've received personally calls from half a dozen states already seeking technical assistance to implement a similar bill. Of course, we don't have a signature yet, but hopefully, you know, this model is getting out there. So the basic goal of SB 375 is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from cars and light trucks through providing incentives for better development patterns so that people can choose to drive less. We have examples of here, some great TOD in San Francisco and in Pasadena. So this is step one. You know, I was asked by my colleagues to essentially distill this 52-page bill into basically three steps. And so this is step one. The California Air Resources Board will set targets for the regional agencies, and you know, Judy talked about this a little bit, to achieve from, you know, from emissions reductions from cars and light trucks. And then the second piece is the growth plans that the regions create in order to achieve these targets. You know, this is the Sacramento region. This is the inspiration for the bill. We've got on the left-hand side the business as usual or, you know, base case growth scenario. And then after a year or so of community visioning and meetings, they chose this preferred growth scenario on the right-hand side. This scenario reduces the need to drive household VMT by 26%. It reduces greenhouse gas emissions by 15% and saves 350 square miles of open space. This is the same number of jobs, same number of housing units. It reduces congestion. have been thinking about as really supportive policies. 375, this regional planning process, basically we think provides the framework that the Air Resources Board needs to get the emissions reductions from land use and transportation. But you know, it is the beginning. It's the first step. Everyone recognizes it's a step. Some of the other policies we've been thinking about that can provide support for the kinds of things we're trying to do in 375, you know, pay-as-you-drive insurance is, in my opinion, just a win-win, sort of no-brainer policy. The estimates are, the Brookings Institution has a very aggressive estimate that pay-as-you-drive can reduce driving in California by 8%. That's, you know, that's assuming across the board 100% implementation and adoption. Steve Poizner, the insurance commissioner in California, has been very supportive publicly of pay-as-you-drive insurance. The estimates are that 65% of California drivers will actually save money under a pay-as-you-drive insurance program. So we've got draft regulations out, I believe, for a voluntary program, but I think we're going to keep pushing in the direction of at least requiring insurers to provide this as one of a number of options for their consumers. Of course, we've got battles about transit funding every year. The transit funding account is raided, and of course, with increasing gas prices, transit agencies are strapped. I don't know if any of you actually saw that. This is appalling, in my opinion, but there was a proposal that came in the Chronicle, and Bart swears they were, you know, misquoted, but there was a proposal for congestion pricing on BART because we were having so much congestion during the peak periods on BART. What can we do to deal with this problem? Well, let's charge people more money and then maybe they just won't ride BART. So that was really, that was quite a morning when I walked in the office and said, have you seen this? Of course, we called BART and they said that's not really what they're considering doing. But you know, the point is we need more transit more quickly, and so we need to stop raiding the public transit account and have dedicated transit funding coming out of the state. You know, there's a lot that can be done with employer transportation demand management programs. I think Genentech has a wonderful model with their parking cash-out programs and carpooling and vanpooling, and a lot more can be done. I think this is basic low-hanging fruit, but it just takes some coordination and dedicated time. And then, of course, congestion pricing is, you know, much, much more politically difficult to talk about, but I think eventually we're going to need to start talking about it. And mostly as a means to generate the massive amounts of revenue that are needed to build the state-of-the-art transit systems that we need. So, you know, just a word of thanks. I wanted to acknowledge again that there are many environmentalists in this room who have been working on these issues for probably decades, laying the groundwork, talking about smart growth, talking about all the benefits. And, you know, the coalition that we were able to bring together this year in support of 375, which is, you know, real land use reform, introducing greenhouse gas emissions as the organizing principle for transportation planning, I think it's really a watershed moment. And I think it's really due to the, you know, to the work of a lot of the folks in this room and some of the honorees today. So just wanted to recognize the important work that's gone ahead of us. And then offer myself to answer any questions. I gather there will be a panel or something a little bit later. But 375 is obviously a very complex bill, and I've summarized it rather quickly, so I'd be happy to answer any questions. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Amanda. And now we're going to take a short break, and then so the stage can be reached.